إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah. We praise Him, seek His aid, and ask His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil which is in ourselves, and we seek refuge in Allah from our evil actions. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. Whoever Allah guides, there is none who can misguide him. And whoever Allah chooses to be misguided, there is none who can guide him. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. I bear witness there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. He is alone and He has no partners. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. I also bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he is the worship of Allah and his final messenger. Amma ba'd, fa inna khayr al-hadithi kitabullah. Thereafter, the best of speech is the book of Allah. Wa khayr al-huda huda an-nabiyyi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the best guidance is the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Wa inna sharr al-umur muhdathatuha. The most evil affairs are those matters which people innovate into Islam. فَإِنَّ كُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ وَكُلَّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ. Every innovation is a bid'ah. Every bid'ah is misguidance. And every misguidance only leads to the fire. عباد الله. Allah جل في العلا, He created man, and He created the jinn, and He fashioned all of mankind in the best possible manner. And it is Allah who sustains us. It is Allah who has blessed us with the aql, with the intellect. And He blesses us with wealth. He blesses us with sustenance. He is the one who gives us children. He is the one who has fashioned and created our bodies. He bestows upon us good health. So everything which has been mentioned, all of this is from the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He decrees all of this because of a wisdom, a hikmah from Himself. And our Lord Jalla Jalaluh, when He bestowed upon us these blessings, life and blood, children, wealth and property, then He made for it a hurmah. And the meaning of hurma is a sanctity. I.e. that these things, they must be safeguarded, protected, and they cannot be violated. Why? Because they are blessings of Allah. Because He decreed them with a wisdom from Himself. So nobody is allowed to violate any blessing of Allah, which is possessed by anybody, regardless of who that person is, without any right or justification. Allah Jalla fil Ula, He is the one who created life. And then He gave this life a hurma, a sanctity. Allah Jalla fil Ula, He is the one who gives wealth, regardless of who the wealth is with, regardless of who possesses the wealth and the property. But because it is Allah who is Ar-Raziq, then the wealth and property of people, of humans, has a hurma, a sanctity. So it cannot be stolen and taken. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gave people al-a'raad, their honors. This honor, it cannot be violated without a right. So it isn't allowed for a person to violate anything which Allah has made sacred, anything which Allah has given as sanctity. Whether it's a life, blood, property, honor, or anything else which is from the blessings of Allah Jalla fil Ula. The blood of the Muslims, the life of the Muslims, and the blood and life of the non-Muslims, those who we live amongst in this community, in this country, and we live with them in security and safety and at peace with them, like the non-Muslims of this country, it is haram upon a person, forbidden upon a person, to violate any of their rights which Allah has made sacred. In fact, even an animal, never mind human beings, an animal. It isn't allowed for a Muslim to kill an animal, or to oppress an animal, or to make an animal scared without any reason. Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad, rahimullah, he said, Wallahi, لا يحل لك أن تؤذي كلبا ولا خنزيرا فكيف تؤذي مسلما بلا سبب. He said, by Allah, it is not permitted for you as a Muslim to harm a dog or a pig. So how about harming the Muslims without a reason? He said this regarding a dog. And a dog, kalb, akramakumullah, we consider it to be najas. It's meat is impure. Its meat is not permitted for us to eat. Its saliva is impure. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Idha walagha al-kalbu fi ina'i ahadikum." If a dog comes and licks one of your utensils, falyaghsilhu sab'a marratin ulahunna bit-turab. Then wash this utensil 7 times, and the first of these 7 times you have to use soil. And this is the dog regarding which Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad said, it isn't allowed for you as a Muslim to harm a dog. And the khinzir, similar. Najas, haram. Its meat is haram. Its saliva is najas. Its flesh is najas. And Fudayl ibn Iyad, he said, Wallahi, لا يجوز لك أن تؤذي كلبا ولا خنزيرا. It isn't permitted for you to harm a dog or a pig. فَكَيْفَ تُؤْذِي مُسْلِمًا بِلَا سَبَبٍ. So how can you harm a Muslim, a human, who has iman in Allah without any reason? And the human being has been honored as a human being. Meaning, the human being, بِذَاتِهِ, in his essence, as a human being, regardless of his color or culture or faith or religion, the fact that he is insan, the fact that he is Bani Adam, a human, a man or a woman or a child, then Allah has given every human a sanctity. And this sanctity cannot be violated without any reason. Allah said in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. Verily we have honored Bani Adam, all of the children of Adam, every single human being. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ وَحَمَلْنَاهُمْ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحَرِ. And we carry them on the lands and on the sea. وَرَزَقْنَاهُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. And we provide for them from the good pure matters. وَفَضَّلْنَاهُمْ عَلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِّمَّنْ خَلَقْنَا تَفْضِيلًا. And we have made them better than many other types of creation. We have made human beings as human beings, in the essence of being a human, better than every other type of creation. Ibn Kathir rahimullah, in the tafsir of this ayah, he said, يُخْبِرُ تَعَالَىٰ عَنْ تَشْرِيفِهِ لِبَنِي آدَمُ وَتَكْرِيمِهِ. In this ayah, Allah tells us about how He has ennobled Bani Adam, every human being, and how He has honored Bani Adam. فِي خَلْقِهِ لَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَحْسَنِ الْهَيْئَاتِ. In that He has created them in the best possible manner. And for this reason, the violating of any right of any human being, Muslim or non-Muslim, male or female, old or young, then this is considered to be a severe sin in Al-Islam. Allah said in the Quran, مِنْ أَجْلِ ذَٰلِكَ كَتَبْنَا عَلَىٰ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. For this reason, we legislated upon Bani Israel. أَنَّهُ مَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسًا بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ. That whoever takes the life of a person, أو فساد في الأرض, or spreads corruption amongst the earth, فكأنما قتل الناس جميعا, then it is as if he has killed all of mankind. In Islam, the violating of a life of a single human being, the killing of a single human being, is like the killing of a whole of mankind. And then he said, after this, وَمَنْ أَحْيَاهَا, and whoever protects or gives life to a human being, فَكَأَنَّمَا أَحْيَانَ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا, then it is as if he has given light for all of mankind. وَلَقَدْ جَاءَتْهُمْ رُسُلُنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ Verily our messengers came to them, i.e. the Israelites, with the clear proofs. ثُمَّ إِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِّنْهُمْ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ فِي الْأَرْضِ لَمُسْرِفُونَ And yet many amongst them upon the earth, they exceed the limits in violating the rights of the people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He considers violating the life of another human being so severe that He made it second to a shirk. A shirk is first, and then second is the taking of a life of an innocent person. He said in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرٍ And those people who do not ascribe partners to Allah, وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ And they do not take the life of another human being, of another soul, without any right. وَلَا يَزْنُونَ And they do not commit adultery. And then he said, وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَٰلِكَ يَلْقَ أَثَامًا And whoever does any of this, i.e. whoever commits a shirk in dua, whoever takes the life of another soul without any justification, whoever falls into adultery, وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَٰلِكَ يَلْقَ أَثَامًا Then he will meet his sins, i.e. punishment. And then he said after this, يُضَاعَفُ لَهُ الْعَذَابُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ Then on the day of judgment, the punishment is doubled. They have doubled the punishment. وَيَخْلُدْ فِيهِ مُهَانًا And they will remain in Jahannam, disgraced and belittled. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned the seven major sins. Amongst them, he said, اجتنبوا سبع الموبقات Stay away from the seven major destructive sins. In the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Amongst them, he said, قَتْلُ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهِ One of them is taking the life of a human, of a soul, that Allah has made, given sanctity to it. And also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he protected the rights of those non-Muslims who live with the Muslims in peace. He said, "Man qatala mu'ahadan lam yarih ra'ihat al-jannah." He said, "Whoever kills a mu'ahad, and a mu'ahad is a person with whom the Muslims have a treaty, i.e., they live in peace with you, they have safety from you as Muslims. Whoever kills a mu'ahad lam yarih ra'ihat al-jannah, he will never smell the fragrance of paradise." In another hadith, "Man qatala dhimmiyan." لَمْ يَرِحْ رَائِحَةَ الْجَنَّةِ Whoever kills a dhimmi, and a dhimmi is a non-Muslim who is living in the lands of the Muslims, and he gives jizya for his protection. He said, whoever kills this person will never smell the fragrance of paradise. And this is regarding non-Muslims who are living in the Muslim lands, under the safety of the Muslims. The Muslim state protects them. So how about killing a non-Muslim in whose country you are living in? And you are under their protection. And you have a treaty with them. And you're living in safety with them. Then the sin is even more. And as for the killing of a Muslim, then this is even more severe. The killing of any human being, Muslim or non-Muslim, is severe. The killing of a Muslim is even more severe. So much so that Allah, He threatened with five punishments for a person who kills another Muslim. Allah said in the Quran, وَمَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا Whoever kills another believer on purpose, فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمْ His first punishment is Jahannam. خَالِدًا فِيهَا Second punishment is remain in it for a long, long time. وَغَضَبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ Third punishment, and Allah becomes angry with him. Fourth punishment, وَلَعْنَهُ And Allah curses him. Fifth punishment, وَأَعَدَّ لَهُ عَذَابًا عَظِيمًا Allah prepares for him a severe punishment. So one of these punishments is enough. And yet Allah threatens with five different punishments. Jahannam, Al-Khulud, the غضب, the anger of Allah, Al-la'na, the curse of Allah, and then another punishment, عَذَابًا عَظِيمًا for the person who kills another Muslim without a right. And as I mentioned, This is the killing of a Muslim is double in punishment. Why? Because he has the sanctity of a human being, and then he has the sanctity of a Muslim. But even a non-Muslim, even if he remains or she remains as a non-Muslim, but they still have the sanctity of a human being. Somebody whom Allah has honored, Allah has made noble, Allah has protected their life. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ All of Bani Adam, every human being, every child of Adam, we have honored them and we have ennobled them. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to prohibit the Muslims, the Sahaba, from sitting on the roads. In our religion, it isn't allowed for a person to sit on the roads. Why? Because you might annoy or irritate those who are passing by. So the road has a right upon a Muslim. Those who are passing by and walking, they have more of a right than the one who is sitting on the road. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Iyyakum wal julusa fi turuqat." He said, "Be aware of sitting on the roads and the streets, the pavements, the pathways." So if it isn't allowed for a Muslim to sit on the road, on the path or the street or the pavement, because it may cause irritation to a person who is walking by, then how about spreading fasad upon the earth and blowing up places? And Allah said in the Quran, وَلَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بَعْدَ إِصْلَاحِهَا Do not cause corruption upon the earth. Do not cause damage upon the earth after it has been rectified. And perhaps some of you are asking, why are we talking about this topic? What is the relevance of talking about terrorism and extremism and these matters? And it is because, unfortunately, we have amongst the Muslims those who ascribe to al-Islam, who justify the killing of other people and justify terrorism and extremism and justify the taking of the wealth of others. And this isn't something which is strange, because every religion and every system has its extremists. So how many people have been killed? How many wars have been fought in the name of democracy? How much wealth has been stolen in the name of capitalism? How many wars have been fought in the name of Christianity and Judaism? How many crusades were done? How many black people have been killed due to extreme white supremacists? So every religion, every system has its extremists. And like this is Islam. Unfortunately, in Islam, we have those people who ascribe to Islam and yet they carry extremist thoughts. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to warn against al-ghulu. The meaning of ghulu is being extreme in the religion, exaggerating in the religion. So much so, three times the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Halaka al-mutanatti'un, halaka al-mutanatti'un, halaka al-mutanatti'un." He said, those who delve too much, those who are extreme in their religion, they will destroy themselves, they have destroyed themselves. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Ya ayyuhan nas, iyyakum wal ghulu fid din." He said, "O people, be aware of ghulu in your religion. Be aware of extremism or exaggerating in your religion. فَإِنَّمَا أَهْلَكَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ الْغُلُو فِي الدِّينِ Those people who came before you, they were destroyed because of al-ghulu in their religion, because of religious extremism, religious exaggeration. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He also mentioned in the Quran, He said, "Ya أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ O people of the book, لَا تَغْلُو فِي دِينِكُمْ Do not be extreme in your religion. وَلَا تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْحَقِّ And do not say regarding Allah except the truth. إِنَّمَا الْمَسِيحُ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ عِيسَى الْمَسِيحُ He is the son of Maryam. And he is the messenger of Allah. So this ghulu in the religion, this covers every aspect of the religion. فِي الْأَقْوَالِ In our statements. فِي الْأَعْمَالِ In our actions. فِي الْإِعْتِقَادِ In our beliefs. A Muslim has been forbidden from ghulu. And this was before 1400 years. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Allah jalla fil ula forbade al-ghulu fid din, extremism and exaggeration in the religion. And these people, the extremists who ascribe to Islam, the terrorists who hold themselves to be Muslims, it is the Muslims who face the harm of these people before anybody else. And I'll give you a clear example. Only a few days ago, only a week ago, on this very blessed day of Friday, at this time, when the Imam was giving his khutbah, in a masjid called Masjid al-Rawda, in Egypt, in North Sinai, in the area of Bir al-Abid, 25, 30 men ascribing to Islam, entering to the house of Allah, the masjid, with guns and grenades, and killed over 300 Muslims. Who did they kill? Criminals? No. On a Friday, in a Muslim land, in the house of Allah, on Jum'ah, when the Imam is giving his khutbah, how many men, how many children, how many women killed by these extremists in the name of Islam? So those people who face the most harms from the extremists who claim to be upon Islam, it is the Muslims themselves. And like one of the ulama, he said, بِأَيِّ عَقْلٍ وَدِينٍ, according to which type of logic, what type of intellect, which religion can a person justify the killing of 300 people in a place of worship, or in a hospital, or a school, or a train station? And the non-Muslims have also faced their harms in Manchester, in London, Stockholm, Madrid. In fact, in the most sacred of places, only a year ago, in Masjid al-Nabawi al-Sharif, they tried to cause an explosion. In the 1970s, in Mecca, in Masjid al-Haram, Juhayman and his party, in coffins, they entered weapons and guns into Masjid al-Haram. And then they seized it for 2 weeks. And all of this is al-ghulu fi al-deen. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد معشر المسلمين. Our Lord جل في العلا, He made us Muslims the just nation, the fair and moderate nation. He said in the Quran, وكذلك جعلناكم أمة وسطا. He said, and like this, we have made you, O Ummat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the fair, just and moderate nation. And our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he defined who a Muslim is. In the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhu, in the Muslim of Imam Ahmad, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Muslimu man salima an-nasu min lisanihi wa yadihi. He said, the Muslim is a person who the rest of the people feel safe from his tongue and his hands. Notice, the rest of the people, not only the Muslims, the rest of the people feel safe from his hands and his tongues. And in another hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Al-Muslimu man salima an-nasu min lisanihi wa yadihi. Similarly, a Muslim is a person who the people feel safe from his tongue and his hands. And we should know that these extremists who exist within the Muslim community, there are two types. And it's important for us to realize this so we can deal with them. The first of them are the heads of extremists, the ideological leaders. And mainly they are in the Muslim countries. The heads of ISIS, the heads of Daesh, the other jihadi groups. And they use Islam for their own political needs. Power, money, women, slaves. They use Islam as an avenue to this. And then there's another type of extremist. And this extremist is the naive youth. He's naive, miskeen, doesn't have much knowledge. Yet he's deceived by these people. Perhaps even over the internet. Over internet, Facebook. Over time, they talk to him. And then he starts developing those thoughts. And he's only like a lamb who's going to be slaughtered for their needs. He's used and abused, and then he spends the rest of his life in jail. These types of youth, you will see from amongst them, or you will see from their qualities is number one, from the characteristics is jahl, ignorance. They don't have much knowledge of the religion. Also, they are often loners. I.e. they don't spend much time with the Muslim community. Also, you find from amongst them that they will not have a job, a career, they don't have an education, perhaps they're not married, and they don't mix with the people a lot. You see from the signs of this ghulu, of this extremism, that when even on Jum'ah, they'll enter at the last minute. Just before the salah, the last piece of the khutbah, they enter. And when they leave, they're the first people to leave. And outside the masjid, they will stand in the small groups, in corners. As if it's difficult for them to mix with the Muslims. And stay with the rest of the Muslims. Give salam to Muslims. Remain in the masjid for a while. And all of these are signs from the people of Al-Ghulu. And also, that they do not have scholars which they go back to. If you say to them, who are your scholars? They'll mention somebody who's unknown. And for this reason, groups like ISIS and Qaeda, they don't have scholars with them. No senior scholar with them. So the point is that upon the Muslims, upon the masjid, is that we have to face al-ghulu. We have to face this extremism and this exaggeration. In everywhere it occurs, whether it is those who make takfir, who hold Muslims to be non-Muslims, those who make tabdi', those who consider everybody else to be an innovator except their group, just because you don't accept the ijtihad of one of their scholars, then you are now a hizbi or you're a mubtadi'. Or those who have ghulu when it comes to the loving of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, so they celebrate Eid and Maulid al-Nabwi, all of this is al-ghulu in the religion. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Iyyakum wal-ghulu fi al-deen. Be aware of al-ghulu fi al-deen. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Allahumma rida anil khulafai al-rashideen. Abi Bakr wa Umar wa Uthman wa Ali wa ansair al-sahabati al-akramin. اللهم اعز الاسلام والمسلمين اللهم اعز الاسلام والمسلمين اللهم ذل الشرك والمشركين اللهم دمر اعداءك اعداء الدين اللهم انصر دينك وكتابك وسنه نبيك وعبادك المؤمنين اللهم انا نسالك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها انت خير من زكاها انت وليها ومولاها واخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين اقم الصلاه